Current State on WKAR, the months-long discussion about whether to raise Michigan's sales tax by a penny is nearing an end. Voters will decide the issue next Tuesday. According to Michigan's Citizens Research Council, the measure would eventually generate about $1.3 billion additional dollars to be spent on the state's roads and bridges. It creates a new formula for assessing the state's gas tax, which would be tied to the wholesale price of gasoline. At current prices, it would go up about 10 cents per gallon. Whatever the increase, it would be lessened somewhat by the removal of sales tax from gasoline. And although some low-income Michigan households will see their tax bite go down, several estimates put the increase in taxes for the average Michigan household at around $500 a year. For more on this much-debated measure, how it works, and why it makes sense, we welcome one of the key supporters of the measure. Roger Martin runs the public campaign dubbed Say Yes to Roads. He's a partner in Martin Wehmeyer Advocacy in Lansing. Roger, good to see you.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
We'll also point out that before the end of the week, we will be hearing from an opponent or opponents of Proposal 1. Roger, this is a complicated issue with a lot of ramifications, but a central feature of Prop 1 is that it would remove the sales tax from gasoline purchases. Is that because none of those dollars have ever gone to roads anyway?
That's correct, Mark. We have this crazy, convoluted, nonsensical system in Michigan, and have had it forever, on how we fund our the maintenance and how we fix our roads and bridges. So when we go to the pump, we pay three different taxes. We pay the federal gas tax, we pay a state gas tax, and we pay the 6% state sales tax. And as you correctly just stated, that's not a penny of that 6% sales tax goes to roads, bridges, transportation. It goes to local governments, and it goes to K-12 schools. That's the way we've always done it as a state. So Proposal 1 basically scraps the state sales tax. It scraps the 6% sales tax.
From gasoline.
That's correct, from gasoline. Replaces it with a wholesale gas tax. And under our Constitution, every penny that we would pay in taxes going forward would have to, again, under our Constitution, this is not a law, this is the Constitution, would have to go to roads, bridges, and transportation.
But so it does tidy things up a little bit. Yeah, it clarifies things a little bit.
It does. You know, we have a complex system now, very complicated, and that's why, you know, you said the ballot proposal is complicated. I don't know that I would disagree with that. But when you're undoing something that is complicated, it almost takes a
gets complicated.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does.
It would raise a little over $1.2 billion a year for roads, but it wouldn't all be directly spent on roads until 2018, I want to say. Why the delay?
Well, here's what the legislature, when they crafted Proposal 1 back at the end of December, here's what their rationale was for that. We have debt right now that we're paying off in the state that went, going back to the early 1990s, instead of raising the gas tax, or instead of raising new revenues to fix roads, which most people agree would be the responsible thing to do over time, the legislature and the governor decided to borrow a bunch of money to fix the roads. So we're paying off that debt. So because Proposal 1 would not take effect until October 1 of this year, the revenues would still be coming in the meantime. So the legislature, Republicans especially, said, why don't we use some of this early revenue to pay down the debt that we as taxpayers are paying? It will reduce borrowing costs dramatically by hundreds of millions of dollars over time. And then once we have a new construction season and all the dollars are there and we can manage all these new road projects coming in, then let's put all the money toward roads. This is about paying debt. This is about paying down debt.
And some people are grumbling about that. So they say, why we're going to raise the money immediately? Why not put it into the roads immediately?
You know, and I got to tell you, Mark, we've in the course of the last 9 weeks when this campaign started in earnest back in early February, we've probably done now as a coalition 200 or so public presentations to groups across the state on Proposal 1, and that is one of the questions we get. We get, why did they do this? Why did they do that? Why did they do this? And after you can spend 15, 20 minutes speaking to a group, you can see the reluctance and the skepticism disappearing when they understand that, oh my gosh, so that was a good fiscal move. That was fiscally smart to try to pay down debt instead of just letting the money sit in the bank and still incurring the debt.
It would then, Proposal 1 would increase the gasoline tax itself, though, as well, which hasn't gone up for 20 years or thereabouts.
As a state, we have raised the state gas tax one time in the last 31 years. One time in the last 31 years. Now, there are people, there are probably about 26, 27% of the voters in the state who under no circumstances will ever support a gas tax, any tax increase for anything ever, no matter what. But I don't think it would it is unreasonable to suggest that two gas tax increases over the course of 31 years is not reasonable. That is not an unreasonable proposition.
But how much I alluded earlier, I am under the impression that at current prices, the gas tax would go up by about 10 cents per gallon.
That may or may not be accurate. It's a very difficult thing to accurately contend or to calculate. MDOT says it'd be about a nickel a gallon. Others are saying around 10 cents. So probably the truth, if you assume all the different factors that people are putting into their calculations, is probably in the middle there somewhere.
Roger Martin's our guest. He is the head of the Say Yes to Roads campaign for Proposal 1, supporting the increase in the state's state's sales tax by a penny. When you encounter an undecided voter, then, Roger, what are your key reasons that you cite for voting yes on this bill?
Well, again, for the first time, we have this complex system and nonsensical system that we use to fund our roads and bridges, and this totally reconstructs that. It rebuilds it. And for the first time, every penny we pay in taxes at the gas pump will have to go to fix roads, bridges, will have to go to transportation. It really, really simplifies how we do this in Michigan, how we fund our roads and bridges, and establishes that guarantee that we've never had before.
We will also point out once again that we will, current state, will be having an opponent or opponents of Proposal 1 on our program before the end of the week. Let's review what many of the critics of Proposal 1 are saying and get your response. The sales tax is a regressive tax. It hits low-income people relatively harder than, say, an income tax.
There is a lot of economic theory that supports that. By itself, a sales tax increase by itself is a regressive tax, according to a lot of economic theorists. However, Proposal 1 also includes a $260 million tax cut for low-income workers by restoring the earned income tax credit. So, you know, there are a couple of organizations in the state who really all the time advocate on behalf of low-income workers. One is the Michigan League for Public Policy. Michigan Children's is one. There are others. All of them support Proposal 1 because of that restoration of the earned income tax credit. Low-income workers, frankly, under this and factually under this proposal, by and large, get a tax cut here.
There is, as I'm sure you've noticed, a good deal of popular irritation over the legislature simply not passing a measure. Is that you must be contending with that in some way, shape, or form?
We hear that everywhere we go, Mark. And what the legislature, you know, this was the last legislature who put this on the ballot, not the current legislature, but the last legislature, those lawmakers who were here and did that said we did our job because the only way under the Constitution you can raise the sales tax is to go to the ballot. Legislature has no authority to do it on its own. Their contention is that they did their job, you know, and like you said, others will argue, no, that they should have solved it instead of sending it to us to solve.
You hear people say we got a $54 billion state budget. There must be billion or two rattling around in there somewhere to pay for the road.
And of all the arguments that the opponents have, that is probably the most nonsensical and irrational and frankly misleading, if not outright deceptive. We have $53 billion or so that do come into the state that the legislature is in charge of appropriating to various programs and services. All but about $10 billion of that are federal funds that are earmarked legally for only certain things. So the legislature and the governor basically have discretionary spending authority over about $10 billion. Look, I'm not an expert on the state budget, but if you ask the people who are, like the Senate Majority Leader, the Speaker of the House, two very small government, fiscally conservative Republicans, the governor, all of these folks take a constitutional oath of office every year to pass a balanced budget. If you ask them, is there $1.2 billion more every year in the state budget to fund roads? They'll tell you're crazy because it's just not there. They will also note again that we've raised the gas tax one time in 31 years. We've raised the sales tax. Last time we raised the state sales tax, Judd Heathcote was the head basketball coach here at MSU. So they will point that out and say, you know, it's not an unreasonable proposition to be raising taxes once every 21 years or twice every 31 years.
Taxpayers would be essentially giving themselves a tax increase. The Mackinac Center estimates the average Michigan household will see a $525 tax increase if Proposal 1 passes.
For me to sit here and say this is not a tax increase would be a flat-out lie. It is a tax increase. There's no question about that. But again, we've had one gas tax increase in 31 years. We've had one sales tax increase in 21 years. sometimes I'm a business owner, Mark. No one likes to pay higher taxes, but sometimes it just becomes necessary.
It would raise vehicle registrations as well, correct?
It changes the way we do vehicle registrations in a very complex way. But yes, vehicle registration fees would eventually go up as well.
Supporters of investment in public transit have a reason, though, to get behind this. Just to look at the other side here, there's more dollars for public transportation, for public transit, correct?
There is, and it's because there's a law that was passed in 1951. I guess is the best way for me to say it. It's called Public Act 51, and it sets in state law a formula that all gas tax dollars have to be distributed under. And under that formula, about one out of every $10 goes to mass transit, goes to public transportation, bus systems, dial-a-rides, et cetera, et cetera. So legally, if you're raising the gas tax here, those dollars have to go to mass transit. It's part of the law. And, you know, if you look at the city of Detroit and you look at other regions of the Grand Rapids and even Traverse City, Ann Arbor, all of the local leaders there and a lot of the legislators from those areas are advocating more mass transit, more public transit, because young people today, that's the way they like to travel. There's fewer and fewer people buying cars. Big corporations that are looking for talented young people are locating in areas that have alternatives to driving, and certainly public transit is one of those alternatives that really needs to be funded.
There is a diverse coalition backing this proposal. I think that is quite striking. Who is in this group?
There's 120 different members, and I think this segment's about 15 minutes long, and if I started naming them all, we'd run out of time real quick. But I mean, yeah, we've got virtually all of the major business organizations in the state. Every regional chamber of commerce you can pretty much name: Grand Rapids, Detroit, Lansing, Flint, Genesee, Traverse City. We have the Small Business Association of Michigan. We have the sheriffs, police officers, firefighters, all of those first responders who see daily the carnage that is created on our roads because they've deteriorated into the dangerous condition they're in today. We have education groups, we have environmental groups, we have counties, townships, and we have the mayor of Detroit, we have the Wayne County executive. I can just keep going on and on and on. Carl Levin, U.S. Senator Carl Levin, former Congressman John Dingell, Roger Penske, one of the most regarded business leaders in the country.
All the same, the polling hasn't been encouraging for supporters. An Epic MRA poll released the first of the month showed 24% support, 66% opposition. Do you think you've changed any of those minds in the past few weeks?
You know, the old cliche is the only poll that matters is the one that has taken on Election Day. We're ignoring the polls. We're working as hard as we possibly can. We have a very robust to get out the vote effort right now that we've moved all campaign resources into at this point. We have phone banks going on in West Michigan. A phone bank opens in Lansing today. We've been active in Detroit and Flint with phone banks for the last week or 10 days or so. What we're concentrated now on is getting our people out to vote on May 5. Given the size, the breadth, the depth of our coalition, if those members and those constituencies of the coalition get out and vote on May 5, we have a good chance. We have a good chance to win.
A good chance. Is there any serious misinformation in circulation out there, in your view? Are you hearing people demonstrate any consistent misunderstanding of anything in the law, or is the greater challenge just getting people to look at it closely in the first place?
The big challenge is to get people to take the time to understand it, to really look at Proposal 1 and ignore the sound bites that are coming from the other side, that this is some special interest money grab, that this is that's just preposterous. I don't believe anyone considers police officers, firefighters, ambulance or EMTs, teachers, those are not special interests. Those are the people we rely on every day to do what we do in our lives. But the biggest bit of misinformation out there is this notion that there is some viable plan B. And I'm hoping that we eventually strike the words plan B from our lexicon, because I'm tired of hearing it. If you ask the people again who are in charge of writing a state budget every year, is there a viable alternative that can fix our roads without decimating all those essential services that we rely on in Michigan? Higher education, for example, K-12 schools, local revenue sharing that are used to fund our police and firefighters in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Senator Meekhoff, the Senate Majority Leader, Speaker Cotter, the governor will all say there is no viable plan B. If you can't get a plan that fixes the roads and it can get 56 votes in the House and 20 votes in the Senate and can get signed by the governor, that it's not a plan. It's fairy dust, it's unicorns, and it's a wish. It's not a plan.
Well, I will point out the current state has reached out to Paul Mitchell, former candidate for U.S. Congress, who is the head of the Say No to Higher Taxes campaign, which is aligned against Proposal 1. We hope to have Mr. Mitchell on the program on Friday. For now, we want to say thanks to Roger Martin, head of the Say Yes to Roads campaign, a partner in Martin Wehmeyer Advocacy in Lansing. Roger, thank you. Good luck.
Thanks, Mark.